There's a place in a desert where an ocean once danced by. There's a song in the silence, weaving in and out of time. We are notes in the music, searching for remembered rhyme.
You guys like this? I do. It's Kiss from The Elder, their concept album, 1981. Produced by a self-professed, very coked out Bob Ezrin. I love hearing Paul Stanley singing that that vocal range. Clay Pigeon with you, Dusty Show. Welcome, everybody. I don't want it to end, but it has to. 7 minutes after six, marathon just around the corner here at the radio station. You can feel the excitement start to build. Lots of volunteers in the building, lots of FMU DJs getting ready to go for marathon just a couple of weeks away. I hope you have plans to join us. 201-209-9368 is our in-studio phone number. I'd love a phone call from you. I can see the AccuPlaylist is already lively. Good to see my friends there. Look at the names. Cecile, Dale, Glenn, Memphis Mike, Fuzzy, B. Priceless, David, and more are veterans on the AccuPlaylist. Join them. Just go to the website. Lots of good music lined up in this hour. So much to do. No calls yet. Fabio's lurking around. Lots of topics. Did you catch Stevie Wonder by any chance? A Grammy tribute to Stevie Wonder, I think it was called. Great performances. Tony Bennett was fantastic. Jennifer Hudson also fantastic in that show. And then Stevie himself was just a stellar. Slim down. He looked great. He sounded, you know, artists like Tony Bennett, what is he, 88 or something? Sounds incredible. And you talk about that. But Stevie sounded like, he really did sound like he always did, just as young as ever. Incredible. George Washington's birthday coming up. We can talk about that. Jeb Bush has thrown his hat in the ring now, talking about running for president on the Republican side. Scott Walker as well, the governor of Wisconsin. Politics, something we can always discuss. Leslie Gore passed away. You've been hearing lots of Leslie Gore music. And why not? Interesting to re-examine her career and realize What a great artist she was. I was wondering, too, what was your first concert? That was a question I thought of, and it's very cold. So far, speaking of cold, nobody on the phone. Nobody likes to be the first caller, but I could use your help. Give me a shout. 201-209-9368 is the number in the studio. Fabio used this second CD player. I'm not very fond of it. So let me reconfigure here and dice up something I can play if nobody calls. Just enjoy this smooth jazz for a moment. Re-examine smooth jazz. You remember Mike LaPica? He's on the radio here sometimes. He's down in, I think he's at Princeton now, maybe even teaching. And I'll save this for a minute. We do have a caller, and then I'll tell you about Mike LaPica. Is anybody there? Hello?
Dusty. Hi, yeah, this is Jim.
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Nothing. I saw that you had nobody calling, and you asked what people's first concerts were.
Yeah, who'd you see first?
I saw Weird Al Yankovic first.
You did, so you must be fairly, young compared to me. What, are you in your 40s or something?
I'm 24.
You're 24?
Yes.
Wow, you got a husky, full man's voice there. Congratulations.
Oh, I get that one. Yeah, thank you.
How was Weird Al?
He was great, actually. I saw him 2 years in a row.
Yeah, you know, his dad was a famous polka star, I believe, Frank Yankovic.
Frank?
Yeah.
That's his brother?
No, that's his dad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think I watched a documentary about him where he talked about playing the accordion from a young age.
So how did you like the Yankovic show?
Well, I was a big fan of him at the time. I think I was about 11 years old, and I thought it was great because I didn't like any of the songs that he was covering, but I loved his version of them.
Uh-huh.
So he's a great performer. He's got a lot of energy, and, you know, for somebody who's got such a young fan base, he knows how to please the entire crowd.
What's your favorite music, if you had to just name a couple? Who do you like?
King Crimson and Tool.
King Crimson and Tool. Are you a regular listener of WFMU?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Have you ever seen Tool with Maynard and the whole crew?
No, not yet. Hopefully they come out with a new album soon, which means they'll be going on tour. And I'll sell my left arm to go see them.
Wasn't there another band associated with them, A Perfect Circle or something like that?
Yep, and then Maynard had another band called Pussifer or something like that. I never listened to them.
It's just a network of them. I think A Perfect Circle had Twiggy from a Marilyn Manson on bass for a while.
Right, yeah.
So you like Prague, you like King Crimson. Do you like them better than Yes or Emerson, Lake and Palmer, some of
absolutely.
The other? What is it about King Crimson that differentiates them from the others?
Well, Yes is a little bit too major in their harmonies and their melodies, whereas King Crimson explores all the scales and...
Are you
they have songs that you think end and then come back to you a minute later.
You sound like a musician, are you?
I'm a percussionist.
A percussionist, yeah. Now, I think of a percussionist associated with King Crimson. Was it Jamie Muir or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember his
name. Yeah, I remember. I read Bruford's book recently, and he was talking about when he joined, there was a percussionist, and then he left because the percussionist had a little friction with Bill. Do you like the old Crimson or the Blue Era Crimson?
The old stuff.
The old stuff.
As they progress musically, they start to sound a little bit like Yes and Gentle Giant, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, then, and you can hear that when you work your way into Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, cause they're still pretty good too, but you know, they don't have that that dark aesthetic that King Crimson first portrayed.
Yeah, something a little more commercial about Yes and ELP than Crimson, wasn't there?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And then Fripp at the very core of it—he's the mystery man, isn't he?
He's a great guitarist.
Yeah, he really is, in a unique style, almost a math rock-oriented style. I'm going to let you go, man, but not without giving everyone your message of peace and love. Impart it upon us.
Sure, peace and love.
Now you gotta go deeper. You're copping out there. Go a little bit deeper. What do you?
Well, I've learned two things in my life from different kinds of people. One is love everybody no matter what, and treat every day like it's your last.
You're a good man. Thanks for calling.
And the other one is kill people that aren't like you, but I'm not sure which one of those you're supposed to follow.
Well, don't do that. Don't do that, okay?
Okay, yeah, I've been working on that one so far, and it hasn't really gotten me too far.
I appreciate your call. It's interesting.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks, buddy. Let's take one more before we play another song. See if anyone's there. Hello, Dusty Show. Anybody there?
Hello? Hey, Dusty, this is Ken.
Ken, how you doing?
Doing good.
Is there
calling in about the first concert?
Is it Ken or Kent?
Ken, K-E-N.
Yeah, not a lot of Kents anymore. When I grew up, there were a lot of Kents, but now it's more Kens, like station manager Ken. What was your first show that you saw, Ken?
When I was 6 years old, my parents took me to see Kiss at the Palladium
no
in
way.
1979. It was the Dynasty Tour, I believe.
Oh, isn't that I Was Made for Loving You around 1979?
Yeah, wow, I think you're right.
Yeah, that was a shaky period, and I think that's kind of right before The Elder that I played. Ace was getting ready to leave, and Peter Criss was leaving, and I think Eric Carr coming on board. Do you still like Kiss? Do you still respect them in their older incarnation?
Well, first, to back up, I think that I was very upset by The Elder when I was like 7. It was just not the Kiss that I knew. But to your point, I think that they were great. But I don't like the way Gene Simmons has become. I think that he's taken a lot away from what the band, what they had. You know, he changed the brand of what Kiss was. To me, as a little kid, they represented sort of this great fun rock music.
Mm-hmm. Did he get a little too arrogant for you?
A ruthless businessman.
Yeah. What about older musicians? Should they keep going or should they fade away? What do you think? We see a lot of the boomer musicians now keeping going into their 60s, 70s, even into their 80s. Does it bother you?
I think that if they still have... if they still have it, it's great. I mean, look at, Neil Young. Look at, the Dead are going back on tour, right? I think that, and there's obviously a high demand to see all of those people. And I think that some of the younger musicians, like, what's his name, from Dave Grohl, I mean, he's showing how much he could learn from these, older guys. So I think that I think there's a lot of value in older musicians.
I appreciate your call today, man. I'm going to let you go. Before I do, give us your message of peace and love. What do you want to say to all the WFMU listeners in Jersey, in New York, across the country, around the world, on today's FMU?
Wow. I would just say exercise, patience, and just try to be cool.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
Nice callers today. Appreciate it. We'll take more calls. In just a few minutes, I was talking about Mike Lupica. If you're a longtime listener of FMU, you know Lupica. And then I think he went down maybe teaching and might even have a radio station down there in Princeton. These are the Princeton Nassoons. We were speaking of Stevie Wonder. Princeton Nassoons, a longstanding vocal group associated with Princeton University. This is their version, hopefully it's going to play, of Golden Lady.
Cause I'm not afraid to try and go in, know the love and beauty never known before. I'll leave it up to you to show me. Looking at your hand, hands, hands can't understand. Waiting for the chance just to hold your hand. Touch of rain and sunshine made the flower grow into a lovely smile that's blooming. And it's so clear to me that you're my dream come true. There's no way that I'll be losing.
Two, three, four.
You can call me right now, 201-209-9368. It's the shortest hour in my week. It really is. It's almost over, already 20 after 6, and I think I see a call. Is somebody there, Clay Pigeon, with you?
Hey, Clay, I actually went to elementary school with Mike Lupica.
You did?
Yeah, he would wear mohawks, like those, you know, those Halloween wigs with the mohawk.
Yeah.
He'd wear those in fifth grade.
He's a great guy. When I first started on FMU, I was still in Wisconsin, and he and Brian Turner were like the guys I would talk to make me feel a part of things here and really comfortable. I love Mike Lupica. He's just a great guy. Were you good friends?
Yeah, we were good friends. I mean, over the years, you know, I was actually a projectionist in at a movie theater, and I would call him on PRB before he went to FMU.
Now, did you load the reels? Is this the old days before digital film projection? Did you load up the reels out of the cans?
Well, I had to build them up, and then, I don't know if you know, you remember, like, at some point in the 80s, like, all of a sudden it went from, you know, like, the biggest movie theater was, like, 4-plex, and it went to, like, 10-plex,
yeah,
and then 20-plex. It was because they went to a platter system where the whole movie could run straight through.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite movie, man? I'm cutting to the chase.
Well, I mean, anything Akira Kurosawa.
Wow, like the heavy art films, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, it was, you know, lately, like, say, the 90s, you know, the 1996 films, the 1987 films, you know, Lethal Weapon, Die Hard, RoboCop, like, those 87 movies were great.
I love RoboCop with the what was the robot called? It looked like an electric shaver. It was kind of RoboCop's enemy. What was the name of that thing? Oh, I can't.
I wanted to say Hal, but yeah, that was obviously not Hal.
2001, I can't remember the name of it, but RoboCop, I thought, was really good. I wrote down a short list today of movies I love. Phase 4, a movie about ants I love, directed by Saul Bass. I love that first Rambo, First Blood, with Brian Dennehy and Sylvester.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the first Vanishing Point movie. I love that. The Reluctant Astronaut with Don Knotts. Just some of the great films ever made. I want to ask you now to give your message of peace and love, because I need to keep things moving here today, man. We're running a tight ship.
Well, I'll have you know that there's a bunch of students of Newark who have taken over the superintendent's office to protest her. You know, she's a puppet of Chris Christie. And they're right at this very moment, there's a bunch of students who have taken over her office that are doing a sit-in. It's now on its second or third night.
And what is the gist of the sit-in?
To ask the superintendent, the state-appointed superintendent of Newark, to step down.
When, for what reason?
Because she's looking to privatize all the public schools of Newark.
What do you think about that, the way Christie has treated the teachers' unions, the way Scott Walker treats unions in Wisconsin?
Well, it's just, you know, it's the darkest moment, you know, for New Jersey. You know, here we are, number one, number two state in education. We, you know, believed in education all these years, and then here we're running against, you know, people are winning running against it, which is, you know, we're living in the age of ignorance, which is a horrible moment to live in.
How do you feel now knowing Jeb Bush wants to be your next president?
Well, he you know, him and his brother ran on destroying the unions, and it's just a horrible, horrible moment in history.
Do you wish Elizabeth Warren would run?
Which one?
Elizabeth Warren. Do you wish she would run?
I wish she would, you know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, but...
You know, they talk about those people, and then they're like, there's no way they would ever win. Why can't they win? They seem to make such good sense. They just seem to speak the truth. Is that why they can't win?
Well, the flip card, you know, again, there's a bunch of teenagers sitting in the superintendents going up against Chris Christie as we speak. You know, maybe... You know, with any revolution, it's the youth that will lead us.
I hope so. I have a lot of faith in these youngsters. Hey, man, I'm going to keep it running here. What's your message of peace and love to the world today? Something nice from your heart for everybody struggling out there. Everybody worried about the future.
Let's live for education. Let's educate the youth.
Man, I like the way you think. You're a good dude. Will you call me again?
What was that?
Will you call me again?
Absolutely.
Thanks for your time, brother.
Bye.
Okay. I think he might have had his radio on. Anyway, what do you think about all this? I'll take more calls in just a moment. But while we're on the subject of Bush, let's play some. This is Bush from 16 Stone. Everything Zen. On the Dusty Show. Stay with me.
$1 million at stake as you search for your demigod and you fake we're the saints. There's no sex in your violence. 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 Trust you once my wife.
Consequences are clear. We've got more families living on the edge that can't afford to save for emergencies, certainly can't afford to save for their retirements. It's a hollowing out of America's middle class. We now have young people who collectively owe $1 trillion in student loan debt, and it continues to go up every single year. So we put these young people in the position of saying, look, if you want to have a shot at making it in America's middle class, you've got to go to school. You're going to have to borrow more and more.
There's no sex in your violence. 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 Trust you.
Dusty Show, is anybody there?
Hey, Clay.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up? This is Michael calling from Bloomfield.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm all right. I'm thinking about what that guy said before. What was his name?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'm not so good with remembering stuff anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about what he said about educating the youth coming out as a 24-year-old. You know, people saying now that, 30 is the new 20, which means that, by comparison, the 20s are the new team.
Uh-huh.
And I think, talking about waiting for the youth, I definitely feel that. And I think a lot of people my age are feeling, they're out of college with those loans Elizabeth was talking about. And we're just feeling bogged down, and we're sort of looking at each other like, yeah, we all see the same problems in life. And we're just trying to figure out, looking at each other like, well, what are we supposed to do? And maybe it is supposed to be rallying behind a candidate like Elizabeth Warren.
Man, I wish she'd run.
I wish she'd run, too.
I'm not excited about Hillary, you know?
It's, you talk about...
It's kind of depressing to think about voting for, like, Clinton versus Bush again.
It's surreal, but I will take it back to Plato and his sort of schizophrenic take on government. And one of the classic parts of that is democracy in the oligarchy.
Yeah.
Brother, seeing those two candidates up against each other, those aren't political candidates. That's political family, man. And they got money for the campaigns, and they got the power. And it just kind of scares me,
Are you hopeful for the future?
I am hopeful for the future because I talk to so many people, and it's tough because I live in North New Jersey. We're not in the boonies, nothing against the boonies at all. I love those places. But, there's some parts of the country where your ideas are different from the vast majority, And you stay in North Jersey for a long time and you think, well, everybody is for easing up on student loans and even gay marriage. I mean, you go around thinking like this is the general feeling, and then as you come into the world and you hear these other voices, and you start to realize that it's sort of a battlefield,
Yeah.
And I'm sort of wondering now, if it is. I don't like to use the word battlefield, but such opinions are so staunch, so different from the other. So. What, talk about educate the youth, what is the first move?
I'm reading a message from Fort Lee here. From Fort Lee, Sad news about the threat to Newark schools. Some days it feels New Jersey is turning into Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Don't give away our public education system to the right wing, it says. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I hate to make it about bipartisan politics, but if that's the policy that we're getting a view of right now, then that's just the way it is.
What's your message of peace and love to everybody, man? I appreciate your call today.
Thanks. My message of peace and love today is, just survive. Make sure you're doing something that you love, because, you know, life is short, and you should be loving this coexistence right here. That's what it's all about. It's all about doing what you love and loving the coexistence.
What are you listening to these days, music-wise?
I don't know. I've been all up in Coltrane. I've been listening to the album Crescent all the time lately.
Coltrane.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because the baby boomers get slag sometimes. And I'm one of them, I guess, tail end.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, the 60s and being young. And the hard part is when you're young, it's easy to be idealistic, but you get out in the system, kind of like a politician going to Washington.
Exactly.
It can do something to you. I hope that doesn't happen to Gen Y, man.
I'm hoping so too. I don't feel that way. I know a lot of people who don't feel that way.
Make it change, man. Make it change. Get out there and be active, okay?
Thanks, bro. I'll take that to heart, certainly.
All right, buddy. Much love.
Good one.
What a bunch of great people out there in the audience. It's so great talking to you. Right now, I don't have a call, so I want to go back and play this. I was so inspired by Stevie the other night. The tribute to him, this is a song I love, by Stevie Wonder. From Inner Visions, All in Love is Fair.
All is fair in love. Love's a crazy game. Two people about to stay in love is one, they say. But all has changed with time. None can see the road you leave behind. Ahead lies mystery. Write the words again that all in love. never spare. A writer takes his pen, writing words again, that all in love is fair.
Ooh, man. You hear the word genius bandied about casually. I think it does apply with Stevie Wonder. Matt from Springfield surprisingly said, good track indeed. Never heard this one before. Matt, you must be so young. From Inner Visions. I love it. Uh-oh. Oh, man. Oh, let's just play the son of a beehive. I can't flirt around with it. This is rage.
The overreach of the president, President Obama, has deeply disturbed a lot of people. And I think, so we have 30 governors. We have a majority of
Sam Brown back in Kansas.
Brian Sandoval, Susana Martinez. Rick Scott is, you know, working hard in Florida. Rick Snyder. These are governors that are being and doing and making a difference.
Sing it, you guys.
With a pocket full of shells. We rally round our family.
Sack did a rocker.
With a pocket full of shells. We rally round our family. With a pocket full of shells. Weapons, not food, not hope, not shoes, not need. Just feed the war cannibal animal. I walk the corner to the rumble. That used to be a library line. That's out of my cemetery now. What we don't know keeps the contract alive. They don't gotta burn the book, they just remove them. While arms, warehouses, villains, crackers, and cells. Rally round the family, pockets full of shells. Rally round the family, with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family, with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family, with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family. With a pocket full of shells.
Governor Scott Walker.
We need a president who doesn't sit in Washington, D.C. when world leaders are standing together against terrorism in Paris. We need a president and leaders in Washington. We need leaders who understand that when freedom-loving people anywhere in the world are under attack, anywhere else, they're under attack against all of us who believe in freedom. We need leaders who will stand with our allies against radical Islamic terrorists.
Corporations are people, my friend. Corporations. We can raise taxes on... Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people.
Against the Machine, Bulls. On Parade. I wanted to play Killing in the Name of, but there's so many F-bombs in that. And you know, we can't play them. I'm usually not into that kind of thing, but in the case of that song, I like to just let them fly, you know? Maybe you do the podcast one day. How you guys doing? It's cold, man. It's cold in Jersey City. Like record cold, I think, isn't it? They're telling us to watch out. We don't freeze our pipes.
Would Drano let you hurt your pipes?
You remember that one? I love saying that.
Would Drano let you hurt your pipes? Clay Pigeon with you on the Dusty Show, 15 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. Hardy White coming up at the top of the hour. And the whole TNP to follow. The Thursday Night Package.
Somebody was asking, what's TNP mean? We have no calls. 201-209-9368. I hadn't intended to roll straight in to that Rage Against the Machine. And when you have a week to kind of put the pieces together for these little shows and something goes wrong, it's very disturbing. It made me mad, and I slammed this tiny piece of cardboard in anger. But you know what it is? My RSB-11W is on the blink, and I need to take it out into the hinterlands of Jersey to have it fixed. And so I've actually been using more CDs. And you play these CDs, and if you're not careful, it just rolls right into the next song. I'm not used to that. And somebody said, trim that bush. Oh, now I get it. Trim that bush. I thought they meant it that it was recorded too loud, because when you see it in a sound graph, it's just one solid bar of noise. That's how that new metal grunge was. And I wanted to play some Gavin Rossdale. Who wouldn't? But they said, trim that bush. And now I get it. That was funny. Trim that bush. George Washington's birthday is coming up. And so is mine. As a matter of fact, we share the same birthday. I was born February 22nd, 1958. Oh my gosh, that's so long ago. Eisenhower was president. It's starting to feel weird. I'm almost old. This is my last hurrah, you guys. No wonder I'm playing all these rock songs and trying to sing and clapping and screaming, carrying on. What's endemic? Is that endemic of a man my age? I don't know. I know words, but I don't. Look at this Christmas tree. Damn it. I've got you stacked up. I'm like Billy Bob Thornton in Pushing Tin, just guiding you in. Going out in the runway with John Cusack and getting blown up into the air. I love that scene. I like that movie, Pushing Tin. Kirsten and I argued about that. I think she ended up watching it with me, though, and not hating it so much. And I did talk her into liking Salt. Have you ever seen that movie? Hold on a second. I like this jam. This is Shepherd's Loco Hills. I've been using this a lot. Let's take some attack calls here, real quick ones. Dusty Show, quickly, who's this?
Hey, Clay, it's Bobby in Maplewood.
Bobby, your first concert, what was it?
First concert was Neil Young.
Neil Young. What tour? Greendale?
It was the Trans Tour. He started the concert, he played acoustic, and then the last...
He put the vocoder on and was stomping around doing those trance songs.
Yeah.
We are in control.
You know what's ironic about that? You can't find that album anywhere.
Oh, I found it. I have two copies. You can find it. You just got to look a lot. It's out there.
Right, but it's an import.
Yeah, and you know what? People your age, I'm assuming you're kind of young, I'm
10 years younger than you.
They're obsessed.
I was born February 1st, 1968.
Obsessed with trance. You know why? Because you ignored it the first time around. Maybe you didn't, but most people did.
Secretly, I liked it, but it was like, all right, so it was 1983, and it was, my friends were like, oh, this isn't good, Neil Young.
Yeah, I think
they were telling me, like, not to like it.
I think he was listening to Kraftwerk and stuff. He was into the sound. And also, they say, he was imagining his son if he could speak, would have a voice that would be assisted like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I like a lot of Neil Young's output in the 80s because he constantly changed.
Yep, here's the story. Don't hate me. I'm getting ready because we're almost out of time. I'm going to take a bunch of calls. What's your message of peace and love?
Just be cool to the next person, but just try to stay warm tonight.
Are you kind of mad at me to that distance yet at all?
No, man. You got time.
You still love me? Will you do me a favor? Just scream into the room you're in, I love WFMU.
I love WFMU!
That's right, baby. I love it. Let's take another one. Let's dump together and then take another one. Who's there?
Hello.
Hey, is your radio on? Don't lie to me.
I just turned it off when you picked up.
What's your first concert, man? Quickly here. We're taking quick ones.
It was the Moody Blues at the Garden State Arts Center.
Did you love it?
I loved it. I was born to that music. My parents took me. I had an earache, and I stayed through the whole thing anyway.
Moody Blues, what tour? I wanted to say Heavy Horses, but that was Jethro Tull. Moody Blues.
I don't even know what album they were on back then. It was probably like Children or something.
Were you entranced by the magic of Justin Hayward?
Absolutely.
Man,
they're fantastic.
Yeah, something about him. Kind of wears those dad jeans, and yet he pulls you in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Some of those old guys can do that. Obama wears those dad jeans, but he pulls you in, doesn't he?
It works.
Okay, man, I'm letting you go. Yell it out. I love FMU.
I do love FMU.
Louder, baby. Come on.
I love FMU.
Come on, from the bottom of your balls. Do it again.
FMU.
That's right. Yeah, I said it. WFMU, how you doing?
Hi, Clay. It's Sean from Bristol, UK. How you doing?
I'm good, Sean. A limited amount of time. We're running things kind of an energetic American style here. Real frenetic and caffeinated, man. Are you into it? Can you hype up with me?
I'll try.
He can't do it. See, England can't hang with that kind of hype. And who can blame him? Who can hang with Clay? 10 minutes, baby. No calls right now. 201-209-9368. I'm going to give you 10 seconds, or we're going to hear the Bay City Rollers. And not any Rollers song. A late incarnation from when the band was called The Rollers. You know I'm obsessed with this Elevator album. This song is called Washington's Birthday.
Mrs. Washington, the world, the years have passed you by. We know him well, and he sends you his love. Glad you called, Mrs. Washington. Your boy has gone out for the day. He tried to call on his anniversary.
George, you run that horse too fast.
She likes it, Henry, and I like her. Nothing I like better than a fine horse.
Yes, like most boys, there was nothing that young man named George Washington liked better than a fine horse. And what fun it was to gallop around the large Virginia plantation on the Potomac River where he lived with his family. And so he grew up to be a young gentleman. When he was only 14 years old, a wealthy neighbor by the name of Lord Fairfax said to him,
George, I'd like you to work for me, surveying my lands. The work is hard and may be dangerous, but I'll pay you well.
Thank you, sir. I'd like that.
In the next 3 years, George met many dangers as he traveled far and wide on his surveying job. He learned the dangers of dealing with Indians and other people who were not always friendly. Living an outdoor life, George grew tall and strong by the time he was 20 years old. His brother Lawrence, who had been a soldier and who was George's idol, taught him some military skills.
George, and his brother
had arranged with the governor of Virginia, Governor Dinwiddie, to make George a major in the Virginia militia. It wasn't long before Governor Dinwiddie sent George on a perilous mission across the Allegheny Mountains to deliver a message to the French commander at Fort Lebeuf. It was a rough trip, all right, but George got through to the fort safely and delivered the message. But on his way home, he almost lost his life twice. An Indian guide suddenly turned and shot at him. And the second time was when he fell into the ice-cold water of the Allegheny River while crossing it on a raft. But when he returned home at last, Governor Dinwiddie made him commander of all the soldiers in Virginia. And George was only 23 years old. Now Washington returned to his home at Mount Vernon and married a pretty young widow with two children. Her name was Martha Custis.
What's the matter?
Martha, I'm afraid. These new taxes that King George is putting on us, taxes on everything, it seems, on paper, glass, paint. I tell you, King George is not wise. He doesn't understand that we colonists are free men and have rights. I tell you, the colonists won't stand for it much longer.
Can you imagine? Now they've gone and put a tax on tea. Now, I don't think that's fair. I say, no taxation without representation. That's what I say.
Well, one day, a British ship loaded with tea sailed into Boston Harbor and anchored there. That night, some Boston citizens got together and said,
"Let's dump the tea!"
Quickly, they ran on board, found all the tea, and dumped every last crate overboard. Word of this action spread rapidly around the country and made every American jump with glee at what they called the Boston Tea Party.
Colonel Washington, sir! They're fighting in Concord, sir!
What's happened?
The British tried to seize arms and gunpowder. The townspeople and the farmers defended themselves and fought them. They're digging in on Bunker Hill in Boston now!
But that's revolution!
Right, sir! You might call it that! Revolution, sir!
Gentlemen! I nominate Colonel George Washington of Virginia to command our new Continental Army.
All men are created equal, but they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Congress issued the Declaration of Independence, which stated that people had now created a nation of their own. Christmas, 1776, stationed in Trenton, New Jersey, were some troops of Hessian soldiers. Washington thought of a clever plan. On Christmas, he directed a surprise attack by crossing the Delaware River silently in the night. Rapidly, he overwhelmed the amazed Hessian troops.
Martha, you've come all the way from Mount Vernon.
Oh, my dear, my dear.
George, your letters drove me here.
Now that my eyes see you, all worry and weariness vanish. Come into the tent.
Yes.
You must be frozen.
Let me fix you a cup of hot broth to warm your heart.
Martha, I don't need hot broth to warm my heart. Your coming here has done that.
One day, a messenger came galloping into Valley Forge shouting,
"General Washington, the French have joined us!
Mon général, we shall fight together, your country and mine, for la liberté."
And finally, in October 1781, the Americans and their French allies caught the British soldiers and their General Cornwallis in a trap and forced them to give up.
Long live George Washington!
Yes, the people cheered him and called him father of his country.
Observe good faith and justice towards all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all.
Thank you.
Washington, Valley Forge, Valley Forge, Washington. Washington. His clams were chowdered, and his wig was powdered, lily white. Lily white. Off he rode.
I need a colonial meat pie.
Colonial meat pie. I want a meat pie. Then I want to get high. I have a need to drink meat, to smoke weed. I don't want to be a king. That would be fair.
I just want to cross the Delaware. Cause I'm
quite aware of what the English have in mind for us.
Yeah.
So the pointy end of a bayonet in the anus. That's at fault here. No, it ain't us. That's at fault here.
To the rear.
I'll adjourn to the rear of the ranks.
And give thanks to God that I'm still alive.
I still feel the sun on my face as I'm driving my old mule back to Martha's place.
Knowing she's gonna make sweet potatoes.
She's gonna make those sweet potatoes. Yes, Martha's gonna make my sweet potato pie.
Yes,
and I will bed her in the garden. I will bed Martha. In the roses and in the weeds, I will tend to a bee. Now what I mean to say is Martha has injured her arm.
She has injured her arm.
See it bleed,
her arm
is bleeding horribly. Her arm is bleeding horribly, and so I'll bed her down in the roses. Yes, I'll bandage the wound.
I will bandage
the wound.
Martha's wound.
I will bandage the wound. Oh, yes, I will.
And before I am done,
all gems will know the name of George Washington.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Dusty Show. Stick around for the whole TNP yet to come and enjoy your weekend. Hardy White is next with Miracle Nutrition. Always remember...
to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we take a trip together. And yes, it is a little like a trip in which you hallucinate, but without the lingering metallic taste in your mouth or binge eating grapes. So come along with me in the safety of your own head as we journey together and learn a little something and then promptly forget it. Oh, je ne sais, mais je connais une princesse jeune de Montpellier. La princesse a un oiseau d'or qui chante le monde à toutes les heures. Oh, I have no idea what that means. It's on a greeting card I got in a dream. But I would like to take you with me to France today. Are you ready? I hope you have all your shots. What kind of shots do you have to go to France? Well, you have to have an inoculation against the close proximity of others, because sometimes people get up in your personal space. And my personal space is but yards and yards, because I live in places where I don't see a lot of people. So anybody is like standing very close to me or talking very close to me, I don't know whether to hit them or kiss them or what. It's all new to me. Oh, but don't worry, you're traveling with me. I'm an experienced traveler. And that doesn't mean that I'm good at it. I'm actually very terrible at it. But I would like to take you with me to France. Actually, I'm dependent upon you, and I hope you kind of lead the way so I can stay in kind of an alcoholic fog. That's not true. I always am very, very sober when I travel. A lot of people say, hey, Hardy, have about a gallon of whiskey. That'll help. It doesn't help. Otherwise, you start raving about nuts or something on the plane, and they throw you off. That's where we get the expression, to go nuts. But I'd like to take you with me to a particular trip that I took to France, to Montpellier, in the south of France. It's in Languedoc. What does that mean? The tongue of Oc. I know, kind of breaks down there. But Occitan was an ancient language, and it sounded like this. I have no idea. I really don't know. I'm sure that there's a linguist out there going, oh, come on now, Occitan, learn it. Can't you get the Berlitz or something? I like to learn obscure languages, especially ones no one speaks. That way no one will correct me. But France, or French as they call it, is the language of France mostly. And a disapproving look is the other language. But I want to take you to Montpellier in the year 2000, in spring of 2000. When I was sent there by the International Cheese Emporium, ICE, which is an international organization of cheese enthusiasts. Well, I don't know why the E doesn't stand for enthusiasts, but because there is no emporium. It's a mythical place. But I was sent there, and I found myself standing in the Place de la Comédie in Montpellier, France. Imagine it with me, won't you? I don't know what it looks like. All right, I guess I'm going to have to use my description words. Well, there's a big fountain in the middle, first of all. And what's in the fountain? Water, of course, I think, if I remember correctly. And a statue of the Trois Graces, the Three Graces. Who are the Three Graces? Kelly? Gracie, what's her name, from Burns and Allen? It's Allen. Oh, that's so easy. A lot of mnemonic devices are just about memory, but I can't remember them. Isn't that terrible? That's like saying, oh, I put my money in a secret box so I won't lose it, but I've lost the box. And that's really how my memory is a lot of times. So I'm never going to forget this. I'm going to bury it so deep in my brain that a pathologist is going to have to dig it out with a scalpel. I wish they could do that when they cut open your brain, actually find that your memories have become crystallized into tiny little figurines, little Playmobil figurines of the things you actually did and people you saw. And then the doctors will have a blast. Say, look at this, a whole little fruit stand. I can make the man jump around in it. Well, that's what this is like. So I've come with me. I found myself there. And they had rented an apartment for me in a building. And the address was 1 bis Rue de Verdun, right off the Place de la Comédie. And it was a building, it was kind of an Art Deco building, but it really wanted to be an 18th century building. Everything there wants to be older. It was like an old lady put lots of pancake makeup on, say, look at me, I'm young. And for a long time, I didn't know what pancake makeup was. When I was a child, I thought, oh, is it old ladies put actual pancake batter on their face? I'd like to scrape it off and fry it. But it's not that. There is no International House of Pancake makeup that has little containers of cover. What is that? What's it called? Concealer is one. Boysenberry is another. But it's not like that at all. It was just an apartment, and I walked in. Oh, what a beautiful space. It also had the oldest elevator in town, a kind of cage number that you could get four Frenchmen and one very fat American in. And it creaked up to the troisième étage, which is the third floor, but it's actually the fourth floor. I know. They don't even count correctly in France. Everything is different. It was very, I love it, because if you really want to be disoriented, travel. That's why I always, Rick Steves always seems high. Well, A, he is.
but B, it also comes from just not knowing where you are, not being in the familiar. It's great to get outside of your discomfort zone into your agony zone. And that's what I was always in. So everything is slightly different. It's like Planet of the Apes. I know I'm not calling French people apes. Well, they are, just like we're apes. We're all descendants of apes. They're just descendant of apes that have a bit of an attitude. No, I don't make any generalizations about cultures because they're always wrong. People are very diverse and they're very different. I don't like people to make sweeping generalizations about Americans. You couldn't possibly. It's such a vast country and we're all so different. And we like to emphasize our difference so that we can, well, be pitted against each other.